For more information on the Lynch series, visit our website at moviegeeksunited.net/Lynch series.
She only worked here a month. Nice girl. Never seemed to get here on time, though. You ask me. She had a little problem with...
Did you ever see Teresa Banks take cocaine?
No.
Do you ever take cocaine, Irene?
No, I do not. I never took cocaine or any other drug. I don't take drugs.
Nicotine's a drug. Caffeine's a drug.
Who's the towhead? Those drugs are legal.
Welcome to the Lynch series, an ongoing collection of interviews designed to celebrate and explore the films of David Lynch. In this episode, we speak with Lenny Von Dolan, who played the role of Harold Smith in both the TV series and the feature film of Twin Peaks. How did the Twin Peaks project come about for you? I mean, the TV series... was it just a normal kind of call, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't know. Of course, I knew the name David Lynch, but I hadn't seen anything of the series. I don't know what rock I was living under, but when I was offered the role, you know, after meeting them and reading for them, and I had to, they sent all the tapes, you know. And I watched all the season before, and I felt, you know, did someone lace my coffee? What's happening to me? So I really had never seen anything quite like that, and then when I read, you know, the script and talked to. David and Haley about, and the different directors, but the first director was Leslie Gladder, then at a certain point I want to enter that world, because it was from a unique visionary that lo and behold was on ABC TV, you know, even for me, it wasn't really versed with what was going on out there at that time. I mean, that was extraordinary.
It really was. It felt so revolutionary, and it was a phenomenon. And I guess it might have been good that you weren't quite aware at first of what a phenomenon it was, because that probably would have added even more pressure.
I think you're absolutely right. If I had known that. You know, all these people were huddling together, eating pie and watching this thing. I might have, you know, I just entered, you know, this character and this rather skewed world that was so rich. And, you know, and you have so much elasticity and creativity in the work, which is so rare in any time, but especially in television.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to ask you about, because, I mean, these stories and Lynch's whole style is it feels very kind of stream of consciousness and like no boundaries on creativity. Do you feel that as an actor? Do you feel that sense of freedom?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's tangible. You can feel it in your bones. I mean, without question, you feel it. I felt it on that set, and it was this miraculous little the center of the universe you created in Chino, of all people. And that's where we were, and it was kind of this dream. You drive there and enter into this kind of moving liquid dream in Chino, and then you drive home, and that was something different.
Yeah, back to the real world.
Back to the real world,
yeah. Something interests me about acting in episodic television, because you've done a lot of movies and you've done quite a bit of TV as well, but when you do a performance in a TV show, especially one that is established like a Twin Peaks, and you come on the set and there's already a kind of a family organized there, a very family feeling. Is it awkward to get acclimated and become a member of that family, or to feel comfortable and get your footing?
It varies, of course, but on different projects for what it is and how, you know, welcoming the people you're working with. In my case, on Twin Peaks, anyway, it was uniquely. claustrophobic, and because I was in Harold's hermetically sealed world, and one or two people would come to me in the form of Laura Flynn Boyle and Cheryl Lee. So, you know, I didn't have to fit into a big family. I was a satellite. And so there wasn't that pressure, although I felt totally inspired on that set, and so I could feel the energy that others, that I was feeling, that I was sure others were feeling as well. I would say.
So the
you're kind of encouraged to walk a high wire, and,
yes.
But nothing is said in that regard. It's just something that's in the molecules of the air, and that starts at the top, you know, and this world is kind of encouraged, and so artists, you know, or actors are the most sensory accented people there are, so of course we feel that.
It's interesting that you use the term high wire, because I've heard that quite a bit. I know that Pacino likes to refer to acting as like walking on a high wire. And do you feel like the most fulfilling creative experiences for you have been on that high wire?
Oh, without question. Yeah, without question. And a lot of times, you don't know it. I mean, you feel it at the time as you're doing it, or you come to and you realize you entered into some world that was the right one for this project and this moment. And then you feel something perhaps extraordinary happen, but you don't always have it so beautifully validated as I in the movie of Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. Shirley and I did this scene that was rather intense, and it was very late at night when we finally got to it, and we were all pretty spent, I'm sure, just by adrenaline on hold, and we did this thing, and it kind of splattered it all over the walls emotionally, and it was pretty great and brave and chill. It's extraordinary, and we went there to that place, cut, got it, and there was this you know, that momentary thing, oh, we're moving on. Well, that's done. But out of the corner of my eye, I see this movement, and I look, and it looks like a tall leprechaun version of a jig. And it was Mr. Lynch. David Lynch was celebrating just in his own heart something that had happened, that had transpired. And there was that moment of recognition, of celebration to maybe something like, you know, something good having occurred. So there wasn't just that, all right, on to the next kind of thing. You know, there was a moment. So in that moment in my life, I felt maybe someone else felt it too.
Tell me the first time you met Mr. Lynch. What impression did he make on you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I met him out here because I was living in New York, and I came out for something, and while I was here, they said, would you go and David Lynch for Doom? And I said, of course. And so I went, and we sat on the couch next to each other. It was so lovely. And we talked for a long time, and he said peachy and keen and things that I thought, wow, I thought, this is quite an extraordinary chap. And I didn't, in the end, get the role. Kyle, of course, played that part wonderfully, and but he must have maybe remembered me. No, I was completely charmed by him, and there was nothing, in quotation marks, weird about him. He was charming.
And the last time
I saw him, this is funny, Jamie, because, you know, we don't always see each other out here as much as people may think. And years had gone by, and I recently saw David. The stoplight, I looked over, and there was this Prius, and it was a long light, I knew, so I kind of let my eyes stare a little bit longer than I would have, and I recognized the, you know, the pompadour, the hair, and he looked at me and recognized me, and we kind of waited and started to speak, the light turned green, and that was our L.A. reunion, you know. There was, you know, a little love there, but it was quick. And he's a lovely man.
And a real artist. Absolutely, yeah. And you've worked with so many great filmmakers, and I'm curious what makes his style of direction unique.
I'm sorry, his style of what?
His style of direction.
Oh, direction.
What makes it unique for you?
I suppose it's succinctness. There's not a lot of talk, but what's said is terse, as we say. It's to the point, and he, of course, has a very relaxed set, and that permission for you to, you know, to create this person. He saw you, he sort of knighted you to play. So you don't feel anything but confirmation of your presence there. And that's awfully useful when you're, you know, showing part of your heart. Whatever. So I think that, and I don't know if that's something he consciously does or learned, or that's just who he is. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's awfully useful in movie making.
Well, when you actually watch the show, the episodes that you were in, and especially the film, I mean, you are a part of the fabric of this kind of larger whole. Was it surprising to you? Were you surprised by, after you saw the film, by what that film was?
Oh, yes, I was. I took my girlfriend at the time, who I think is still speechless to this day, even though she's not my girlfriend, we're still friends. If I were to refer to that night, she might still be rendered. She just could not believe it. And in a way, I couldn't either, because, of course, I'd never seen the film. It was a screening at the DGA, and David was introduced properly, and he got up, and we all prepared ourselves for his words of, you know, the way directors do before films. And instead, he said hello and reached in his ubiquitous blazer jacket pocket and pulled out a piece of paper and proceeded to read the first paragraph of the Gettysburg Address and then sat down. It was rather marvelous and, you know, kind of head-scratching. And then those drapes pulled, those curtains, grand red curtains pulled back, and this film began. Well, you know, I knew I only had one scene, kind of killer scene, but I had no idea what, I'd read the script, obviously, but I didn't know what it would be. So, yeah, I was shocked and, you know, I knew I was in the presence of something extraordinary. And it turned out to be true, because people either were mesmerized by it and adored it, or it just passed the comprehension, you know. They did not want to enter into that world. And I think, you know, those two kinds of stark, to inspire those kinds of reactions is rather, unique.
I adore the film, and for me, it's, I mean, as a very devoted David Lynch fan, it is the most kind of emotional of his films for me, and the most tragic. But I'm curious to know, because you talked about people resisting kind of venturing into the unknown. And for me, when I watched the film, I am completely comfortable not completely understanding every moment to the letter. I like to maintain that aura of mystery. But as an actor, I would think you would have to justify every moment for yourself and to make sense of every moment for yourself.
Yes, that's true. I was just thinking how I'd like to clone you and make audiences full of Jamie Duvall, who were quite willing to. And I'm kind of like that too, like a child when I go into a theater. What was your question?
I guess, was it ever a challenge to you, because I mean, Mr. Lynch is famous for never wanting to explain anything, but to justify and make sense of your character's actions at every moment.
Well, that's my job, you know, I'm used to that being my job. But they were, like I said, extremely collaborative, and I had done by this time as much research as I could about the Homebound Society, and talked to a few people on the phone, obviously, and met a couple of them as well. But they entrusted me with this, you know, and they wrote beautifully, and in terms of the scheme of Laura Palmer's diary and the scheme of the big picture, I really didn't have to concern myself with that, because I knew that I was just, you know, a splatter of paint on his canvas. I wasn't the whole work of art, but I would try to, you know, fill out the vividness of that color that he required as much as I could.
Are you? I know that you participate in or you have participated in the past, in the conventions that they have. And I want you to tell me about your fan encounters. I mean, what is this very devoted group of people like? Do you feel a great affection from them?
Yes, indeed. They're a lovely group of wackadoos, and I just think they're far more intelligent than I had imagined, I suppose, because I don't watch a lot of TV, and then when I realized that not only are they better versed in the machinations of Twin Peaks than I am, but they're often pretty well-rounded about other things as well, and they're so devoted, and it's quite touching. I met people from all over the world, Japan and Norway and South America. This one woman tried to convince me that I should come with her on this mad search for rare wild orchids in South America, and I almost, you know, she really made it sound so thrilling and necessary that but I just signed her book and a picture and wished her well and you know, but there's something about all that symbolism that's in there too that I suppose I was surprised by. I didn't think at the time, oh, this orchid business is going to be, you know, symbols, one of many of Twin Peaks, you know.
Is that what they're responding to? I mean, it generally, what do you feel that they're getting from the movie and the show?
No, I think more it's the character was such a vessel, you know, people could fill with their own stories and for something and something about him, they were able to project their own desires to tell their story and just have a willing, sympathetic listener. And that's what Harold Smith's was, for sure. So, I think they respond to that kind of rather exotic, sad, loving individual.